good singing. And today we're going to talk about continuing our New Beginning series. And so we talked about needing a new heart and a new mind. And this morning I want to speak to you about needing a new focus. We live in a world that pulls us in so many different directions. And we can start so many different projects. And it really is hard for us to just stop and to keep the main things, the main things. And so the way I want to suggest to us that we gain this focus is by prayer. It's, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 18. Jesus shares a parable with his disciples that we're going to take a look at this morning on prayer. Your prayer life will determine how just every other part of your walk with Christ goes. It's like a thermometer that will tell us whether our walk with Christ is where it needs to be. Because if we're not praying, then we're not growing and we're not serving Christ the way that God intends for us to. And so let's take a look at this parable. Verse 1 says, "They spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by continually coming she weary me.' So the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth?'" So Jesus is reminding us about how important our focus is, how important prayer is, and that we need to make prayer a center part of our life. So we talked last week about the Bible and how we need to read it, and that certainly is true, but then God gives us another tool to help us, and that's prayer. So I want us to see this morning the power of prayer. Prayer is a powerful thing. It's also perhaps one of the most underutilized tools for the child of God. So some things that we want to talk about prayer this morning, the first is this, that the power of prayer is seen when we understand God. When we understand God, when we understand who God is, it should drive us to prayer. Knowing that God alone is God. There's one true God. There's a God that loves you and a God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the Psalms say. That God created everything and that he sustains everything. Paul tells us in Colossians that all things are held together by Christ. And so when we understand who God is, then we're motivated to pray. You see, if you really understand that God is able to do something about the problems that you have, no matter what they are, whether they're physical problems or financial or relationships or job problems, whatever it is, that God is concerned about it and God wants to help us through every one of those things. So we need to understand that God is gracious and that he is loving and that he wants to draw near to us. That there's some religions that have this idea of God being this ogre in the sky or that he's unapproachable. But God reveals to us through his word that he is near to us. And he is approachable. He is, as the psalmist says, an ever-present help in time of trouble. But the problem comes is when we lose our, we're focusing on all these other things and we lose sight of God and we forget that He's with us. And so prayer becomes a last resort. But for a healthy child of God, and when our focus is where it needs to be, God is not the last resort. He is our first impulse. So that we go to God automatically. Paul tells us in Romans 5:8, God shows His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you wonder, does God really love us? Then look at the cross. He did that for you and me and all the whosoevers, that whosoever would call upon Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so we need to understand God, and when we understand who He is, then that will drive us to want to communicate with Him. When we understand that He can do something about our problems and will do something about our problems, we will be drawn to Him. But just because we pray, that doesn't mean that everything's solved. Now, sometimes we have to pray over a good while to see God answer. And it's not because that God is missing us the first, you know, He doesn't hear us the first time we pray, or the second or the third. And maybe, you know, prayer reminds us of our dependence upon Him. For Scripture says God knows what we have need of before we even ask it. But Jesus also said, you have not because you ask not. So it's a reminder that God is with us. And it's a reminder to us that God is with us. And that we could depend on God for everything in our life. And so what I want us to see secondly from this parable is this, that the power of prayer is seen when we understand persistence. And the persistence that I'm talking about is the persistence that Paul mentions in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Where He instructs us to pray without ceasing. Now, He's not saying that we just simply keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, but that we're always in this attitude of prayer. And that prayer is a central part of our life, that it is a regular habit that we observe. We need to understand, though, that no is an answer. That sometimes when we pray, God says no. And when God says no, we don't need to keep praying about it. The no settles it. Sometimes He says yes, and He does keep, you know, give us as we prayed. Sometimes He may say not yet, or not now. Maybe the timing's not right. And God's timing is always perfect. It's oftentimes not our timing, but it's always perfect. God may not come when you want Him, that's the old saying, but He always comes right on time. And so the prayer of persistence is not, and this widow, comes, and it's not the fact that it's bringing the same request. It's the habit of coming. It's the fact that when we go to God throughout the day, every day, guess what? Our focus is realigned. And we see God doing things that we didn't previously see. And we see God in our life more than we used to. Not because God's all of a sudden more there, but because we're more in tune to Him. And we see His presence, and we are communicating with Him more, and we're nearer to Him. And so it's not just continually giving the same request. That's not what Jesus is trying to tell us, that, well, you just need to keep uttering the same thing over and over again until you get it. Like a whiny child that keeps asking something over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's not what he's saying, but what he's saying is you make it a regular habit to communicate with God. Because this evil judge and king was able to do something. How much more can a good judge, a good father, answer his children's request? And that's the point that Jesus is praying. Not that we utter it over and over again. And we see that in Jesus' instructions in the Sermon on the Mount when he talks about prayer. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, he says, "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen to others by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask." So what's the point of it all? What's the point of the parable? Pray and keep praying. Make prayer a central part of your life. And again, it's not that we pray loud. It's not that we pray on street corners where others can see us. It's not that we, you know, keep using empty phrases as Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 6, but that we share our heart with God and that we talk with Him and that we take time to listen, because prayer is a two-way street. It's a communication. And God does answer us in prayer, but oftentimes we don't hear the answer because we're too busy looking for something else or predetermining how we want God to answer, thinking that we know best, when in reality we know that God knows what's best, and God will work His perfect will. And so there's persistence in prayer that's needed, that we need to keep on praying. We need to be a people that are marked by prayer. Now, how often do we say, "Well, I prayed about it once," and we give up? Or we pray about something maybe for a day or two, and we don't see anything happening, and so we assume God's forgotten about us, or that God's not hearing our prayer. But that may not, and often is not the case. God does hear the prayers of His children. He hears every prayer that you pray. And again, sometimes, though, He may say no. Just like a loving parent will have to tell their children no sometimes. It's never fun. We don't like being told no, but we need to be told no sometimes. And then the third thing I want us to see as we look at this parable is that the power of prayer is seen when we understand our position. To understand that as Jesus used this parable, He intentionally picked the people in the parable. He picked an unrighteous judge or king or ruler, somebody that didn't fear God and didn't have any respect for people. And then He picked a widow. And a widow in Jesus' day in the first century didn't have much standing in the community. They didn't have many resources. And yet this widow continued to persist in her request. Jesus said, "Listen, this unholy judge heard this widow woman that really was not any person of standing in the community, but the judge heard her and gave her a request. And your Father in heaven, who is a good and loving and gracious and merciful God, hears you and he answers. Not because you're a widow, but because you're a child of the King. Because you're not like that widow woman that has no standing. You are, if you're a child of God, child of the King. Your royalty, your joint heirs. The Bible says that if you're in Christ, you are royalty, that you are an heir to the throne of God. That means God cares for you, and that you are valuable, and that you are important. And so Jesus is making the point, come and make your request known. Now, there are some children in this world that, you know, you can ask people things. You know, Bill Gates has more money than he knows what to do with. His children go to him and say, hey, Dad, I need some money. He'd probably give it to him. If you and I were walked up to Bill and say, hey, Mr. Gates, I need some money, he probably wouldn't give it to us because we're not his children. Well, the same goes in our relationship with God. We are his children. And so we can come before him and we can make our request known. And God is able to answer those requests. And so I wrap up with reminding us of the words of Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Prayer shouldn't be seen as a burden or an obligation. It should be seen as an opportunity to see God work in our life and in our world. So we're invited by Jesus to pray about everything. There's literally no prayer too small. And there's no prayer too big that God can't handle it. But here's a reminder for us, the key to making prayer work: understanding who God is by being persistent in our prayers and remembering who we are as we pray. That we're a child of the King. That we're coming from a place of authority and a place of relationship with God. And that can fuel our prayers and allow us to see God work in our lives in powerful ways. So God will help us to do that, to be a people of prayer. We would see God work in ways that we couldn't even imagine. Would you pray with me? Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, help us to be people of prayer. Lord, our prayer life will help keep us focused on you and focused on the reminder that you're able to meet our needs and that you're able to do things about the things that bother us. Lord, the most important prayer that we can pray is a prayer of salvation, a prayer of repentance, that we know that we need you. And if there's one that hasn't made that decision today, would you help them today, right now, to confess you as Lord and confess their sin, turn away and turn to you. But Lord, those of us that are your children, may you help us remember that we're a child of the King and that our focus needs to be on you, and an important tool in our box to help us keep you at the center is prayer. God, help us depend on you. Help us to spend time with you. Forgive us when we fail to do that. Draw us near and work as only you can do, and we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Let's sing of him in response. God spoke to your heart as a decision you need to make. Today would be a great day. This would be a great time for you to make that decision to pray that prayer.